Would you like to accelerate your career and reach your full potential in just minutes a day? Welcome to the LeadX Show with New York Times bestselling author and Inc. 500 entrepreneur, Kevin Cruz.
How can you use the acronym BALD to persuade others? Hello, everyone. I'm Kevin Cruz. Welcome to the LeadX Show, the smartest way to start your day. Before we begin today's show, I hope you'll remember to tell your friends about LeadX. Whether they're on Facebook or your colleagues at work, we want to help more people. We want to reach more people. So tell them to subscribe to the LeadX Show. And I hope you'll also check out our upcoming free live webinars on leadx.org. Recently, we've done free training on building self-confidence, how to be a kick-ass boss, time management, and more, all free on leadx.org. Today on the show, you're going to hear from a best-selling author, speaker, and sales leader. We talk about Dan Pink's book, To Sell as Human, how anyone can use the BALD process to influence others effectively and ethically, and I even ask him what he thinks of that classic sales interview question, sell me this pen. But first, today's one-minute career tip. Get honest feedback. Sure, we all love feedback when it's positive, when we're praised, and we say we want constructive feedback. It makes us better, but come on, it hurts. It stings. So most of us ask for feedback half-heartedly, but I learned how you ask for it if you really want it. I had just sold my company to Conexa. Now they're IBM Conexa. I had become a vice president, a senior partner, and I reported to the CEO, Rudy Carson. My very first day, it was a company quarterly meeting. Rudy gave a speech up in the front of the room. I was standing in the back, kind of leaning against the wall. Now, he knew I had some experience with public speaking, and right afterwards, he walked literally from the stage all the way to the back. Everyone else just assumed he walked out of the room, but he walked up to me and he said, "How'd I do?" Now, this was my first day as an employee, first day as his employee. "Great, Rudy, you did great." And then he asked again, "What could I have done better?" "No, nothing. I thought you did a great job, Rudy." And then he did it. He asked, "If you had to come up with just one thing I could do to be better next time, what would it be?" He forced me to say the one thing that I really thought, but I wasn't going to tell him. I was holding it back. The next time you want feedback on your presentation, on your sales call, on your leadership style, even your outfit, ask the person, "But if I had to make just one change, what would it be?" That's how you'll get honest feedback. Now, our guest today almost didn't make it out of the sales training class in his first job after college because they told him he wasn't salesy enough. He was too introverted. He was too analytical. Boy, that sure relates to me. Yet over 30 years, he's been a successful sales leader, speaker, and best-selling author of Zero Time Selling and Amp Up Your Sales. He's the host of the Accelerate podcast. Our guest is Andy Paul. Andy, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Looking forward to it. And you know, on the LeadX Show, it's a tradition. I always ask our guests to start by telling us a story. Specifically, you know, it's the failure story, because we want to know, what did you learn from it? When did you fail? What did you learn? So we can learn along with you.
Okay. Well, you know, I've got a sales background, so there's failure every day in sales. It's, you know, part of it. But I think one of my great failure stories, that there's actually redemption at the end of it. My interview for my first job out of college. It wasn't the first interview, but it was for the job I ultimately got. But yeah, I show up, I was being interviewed by a company called Burroughs. It's now Unisys, combined with another company to become Unisys. And as right out of school, really had no idea what I was doing in terms of sales and so on. And so I'm sitting in the lobby of the building for my interview, and this gentleman comes out, introduces himself as Ray. He's the guy I could be interviewing with. And he just says, "Hi, I'm Ray," and walks away. And I follow him into a conference room. And he's got a portfolio binder. He opens up, and the first thing he says, before he even says hi, he asks me an accounting question. Now, the job was to sell mini computers to small businesses. And I had taken accounting in college, but it had been a few years before, but this is part of their thing. You need to know accounting, which I didn't really know going into
right,
it.
Right, right.
And I froze. And the first thing that goes through my head is, how am I going to tell my mom and my dad that I blanked on my first interview? They just got through sending me to school. And I just froze. And it's sort of like, I knew the answer, but I didn't want to make anything up. So I just, after I sort of quelled the panic for a second, I said, hey, Ray, I really apologize. I took accounting in college. You can see on my transcript, got a good grade on it. But, the answer just escaped my mind is, can I, research this tonight and call you back tomorrow with the answer? Hmm. And he closes his notebook, doesn't say a word, closes his notebook, gets up and leaves the room. And I'm thinking, what did I do? It's like I just blew it. And I'm there for like 5 minutes, 10 minutes. And it seemed like about 15 minutes before somebody else comes in the room. It's an older guy. And he says, hi, I'm Brian. I'm the manager of this whole office here. And he says, I just talked to Ray. And I'm like, he goes, Ray says he wants to hire you.
Oh, wow.
And it's because, I refused to BS him. Right.
Yeah.
I had the integrity to say, I don't know. And that's what you look for in a salesperson, right? Is somebody that's not going to make stuff up, is not going to try to BS their way through an answer to a customer. They'll be upfront what they don't know, be service oriented. Hey, I'll get back to you with it. Apparently that all resonated with them. But, that was a huge lesson for me.
Now, were you shocked? Like when Brian comes in and said, were you like, wait, what?
Oh, yeah. I thought he was just going to tell me, hey, can we validate your parking? But but yeah, I was stunned and, quite happy, obviously, because, it turned out to be a job I really enjoyed and learned a ton from. But it was just that instant lesson in integrity that you have, during an interview for a job. And it's, if you ever had any question, or if I had ever had any question, right, which I didn't, about the importance of that, that would have laid it to rest right there.
Now, Andy, let me throw an unexpected question at you, because your failure story has to do with, going on an interview. And I'm legitimately just curious about what you're going to say to this. So here it comes.
Sure.
I've been spending a little extra time on LinkedIn lately, and I noticed one post that went viral. And the post was someone saying something like, it had to do with that classic sales interview question, sell me this pen, right? So for my audience members who might not know what I'm talking about, there's this interview question in sales. It's an old one or a classic one of, you just pass your pen across to the candidate and ask them, hey, sell me this pen. And then you're supposed to evaluate, how are they doing it? Are they doing feature benefits or whatever? And this post was something like, I went for a sales interview. They asked me to sell them this pen, and I immediately got up and walked out and, would never work for a person like that. I wouldn't waste my time, et cetera. And I would say 90%+ of the comments on the thread, which ended up with hundreds or even thousands, was like, yeah, those people are stupid and that's a dumb question and I'd be offended and blah, blah, blah. Now, I've never actually been asked that question. I've never actually used that question, but I do not find that question offensive. And I know that the former founder CEO of Medisys out in Arizona, pharma company, I mean, he would ask that question of the administrative assistants. I mean, he so believed in it. So where do you come down on this sell me this pen question in sales interviews?
I think it's perfectly legitimate. Yeah, on one hand, I think, okay, sort of lacks a little imagination, but
you can come up with a better question, right? Right.
Better question. But to me, what I would use that for is, I want to make sure that when I say something, okay, sell me this pen, I want to see what their reaction is in terms of what they say first. Because the first thing we'll try to do is say, okay, well, they try to pitch the product, then okay, I've got an issue here.
Mm-hmm.
But if the first thing they do is say, well, tell me a little bit about how you use your pen. They could lead with a question,
right,
and another question after that. And they dig down and really define what my requirements are for writing by hand these days instead of, why are you still using a pen instead of a computer or your phone? But the fact is, I think it's legitimate. And I think that people don't understand, when they're interviewing for jobs, everybody looks alike, right? To the employer, you all look alike. You've all, cleansed your resumes. Everybody's a success. The thing about sales jobs is, we know from studies that only about 50% of sales reps make their quota year after year, yet 100% of the resumes that are submitted make their quota, right? So everybody's got these airbrushed cleanse resumes. So how are employers supposed to be able to tell the difference between people? Yeah. And so there's various things you have to do. And I think one is testing. So what I recommend to my clients is the same thing is if you have some specific skills that you need to have in the person, then test them. Mm-hmm. And so I remember one client, we were hiring a director of sales, and this is going to be somebody that's sort of a little bit of a player coach because it was a smaller company. So the guy was going to have his own territory. The person was have their own territory. And so the test was they need to be self-sufficient in terms of putting together their PowerPoint presentations and right. so on, is we'd set them in a conference room with a laptop and a data sheet and say, we're going to come back in 15 minutes. We're just like, you know, a little quick presentation about this product. Mm-hmm. And I'd say when we narrowed down to the final 10 candidates out of many, and you just sort of, you know, brought a bunch of people in to talk to, is, yeah, fully 80% of them got up and left. Insulted. Why would I do this? And I had it again with another client where they're hiring, this is a very heavily funded venture-backed company, looking for a VP of sales. And I was working with them. They had fired the previous guy and I was filling in for a few months helping them and helping them recruit this new one. And so one of the things we want to do is, you know, see what their quality of their thought was, right? How'd they think about right. expanding and scaling the team and entering new markets and so on. So we put a little test as, you know, just sort of a single page, give us your thoughts about what you would do to enter this new market in terms of a market launch strategy from a sales perspective. And this was one of the three finalists, and this was a national search. And two of the three candidates refused.
Amazing.
Well, if you pay me for consulting, I'll do it.
Right.
And it's like, dude, that's not what we're asking for, right? It's we just want to see something about you. Show us something different. Show us something about how you think and approach problem solving. And so then the choice became pretty simple at that point.
Right. And most of the candidates are self-selecting out of the process. And obviously the 8 out of 10 who walked out of that little PowerPoint test, I mean, that does tell them, like, they might have been able to look great in a lot of other ways, but then when they're out on their own, are they going to be willing to do that? Can they do that skill-wise? And what you just said, Andy, I was so dumb in my early days. I was smart enough to know to try to test the skill, but I was dumb in that I thought, okay, well, let me be kind to the candidate and time efficient. And I'll say, okay, so usually it was for like a second interview or something, but I'd say things went well. We're going to have you back in, but we're going to send you these documents and we would like you to, you know, whatever it is, make the PowerPoint or, write up a summary or something like that. It was like homework that they were going to bring back. And I got burned numerous times because clearly the person that showed up and got the job wasn't the one that submitted, you know, the actual work. So, you know, when you send it, when you have them do that test at home, you don't know who else is working on that assignment with them, you know, before they turn it in. So the fact that you are asking people like, hey, take 15 minutes in the conference room to do this. And that's no different than what they do when they're hiring software engineers. They'll ask you to debug a module or to, you know, sling some code,
exactly.
you know, for 30 exactly. minutes right on the exactly. premises. So it's not that right. Unusual.
Well, why is sales so special in that regard? I mean, I think if you're a salesperson, you want to get up and leave once they ask you a question. Well, hey, when they ask you, tell me about your strengths and weaknesses, get up and leave then, because if that's the only question they can ask you, you don't want to work there.
Right. Yeah. And of course, a lot of the hardcore, you know, sales leaders I've known in the past, I mean, they would go so far as to almost play mind games. Like they were trying to come up with ways to get the sales candidate to go away because they were looking for someone that was going to persist and, you know, have some tenacity. So, someone's walking out on their own. That certainly isn't it, but,
exactly.
So Andy, you know, it's great having you on the show. We're talking about, sales again. My very first episode 001 was with Dan Pink, and he was talking about his latest book, which is To Sell Is Human. And
right.
of course, Dan Pink doesn't have a sales background himself. And, you know, that wasn't like a classic sales book. In my mind, it was a little bit more of like a persuasion book, similar, related, right? And,
right.
you know,
yeah.
he positioned it as, look, we're all in sales now, whether we're trying to sell our family members on where we're going on vacation, or whether we're selling, you know, at a work situation to get our idea, you know, to sell. We're all in sales. I mean, do you agree? Do you view like everybody is sometimes at least a salesperson?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that if you start looking in the past, is let's say before we've sort of had this, you know, technological revolution in the last several decades, is you could sort of identify people that were sort of angling for leadership positions because they were the ones that always seemed to be in sales mode internally, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, because what they're trying to do is they're trying to, you know, maybe garner a greater percentage of the resources for some project they were working on or whatever. But technology has democratized that to a large extent, right? So the means of influence are more broadly distributed throughout an organization. You know, layers of management have been removed. So, you know, working through others and mastering relationship skills, you know, certainly I think are more important in more jobs than it was in the past. I think the flip side to it is that it doesn't mean we're getting better at it, right? I mean, the means exist, but I think we still suck in general at building those relationships. And I think part of it is due to, you know, lack of experience and understanding how to influence others. And so having more training on how influence works, because influence is sort of a priori people consider it bad, but it's not, right? I mean, there's positive uses of influence. And so within an organization is I think teaching those influence skills and how people make decisions and how people process information is really important. But I also think we just have this idea that's sort of come about because of what's happening, I think, in the greater world in general is that when we talk about influencers these days, a lot of people tend to see influencers in the sense of like a social media influencer or something. And the problem there is, you know, those people are primarily broadcasters.
Right.
Right. It's not an interactive thing. It's a point to multipoint dissemination of information. And, you know, the interactivity just comes from sort of a passive like or share. I mean, occasionally people comment, but I mean, there's not much of a dialogue, right? So I think it's sort of resetting the bar for people. I think, yeah, Dan's generally right that people have to do this. And those people that succeed internally within an organization are those who are more effective at building those relationships and being leaders. But we could do much more to train people about how to build these relationships, how to influence others than we're doing today.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I need to be careful because, you know, I'm talking all the time about, you know, leadership is boiled down, it's influence. And I will say, you know, we influence whether we want to be or not. It's like social contagion, you know, things do spread. But these days, you're right, a lot of people, when they hear influencer or influence, are thinking of like a some
Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, right. Some young person on Instagram that's getting paid a ridiculous amount of money, you know, to carry a purse around and get photographed with it or something like that. And that's not at all like what we're talking about when it comes to persuasion and leading people, you know, for better outcomes and all the rest. So I need to do a better job of making that distinction.
Well, I think the thing that I think wasn't clear enough in Dan's book is that, you know, this is a one-to-one task, right? This is something that I do with another person is build this relationship and, you know, have some influence. And the influence is not just, you know, based on the strength of my argument, but it's based on the relationship. It's based upon understanding their needs and what they're trying to achieve and how I can help them achieve that. And, you know, we tend to look at this as being such a zero-sum game, and it's not. And so I think that, yeah, people are enabled and empowered to be influencers and basically in sales, but we need to do a better job teaching them what that means.
Makes sense. The LeadX show, of course, is a lot about, you know, leadership, again, in everyday lives and then also at work. You specifically in the world of sales, you've trained and mentored and led, you know, many sales professionals. And so I'm just curious, like, do you think, whether it's their profession or it's their personality type, I mean, do you lead sales reps the same way you would lead non-sales professionals, or do you think there is something unique about them?
Well, I mean, I've general managed organizations as well that have, you know, multiple disciplines in it, but I think the answer really depends on the corporate culture, right? I mean, if an organization, a company, sets up sales in sort of the prototypical, stereotypical, macho, always be closing mode, heavily male dominated, hey, we're gonna put sales on a pedestal, then yeah, you manage those people differently than you do everybody else. But increasingly, you see companies that understand that sales is just one function on a part of a team effort that's required in order to capture a customer and retain them. And that in that case, then, you know, there's less of the sense of entitlement among the salespeople, and you manage them somewhat similarly to the other functions, which is, yeah, you focus on clarity and reducing ambiguity in terms of what it is their responsibilities are and how they work with others. So I think that it depends on the corporate situation, I said before. And I think the other thing, though, too, is a little bit different in sales. Is sales, I think, more so than not necessarily all other professions, but, you know, modeling the behavior you want your salespeople to exhibit is really important. And, you know, it's a problem I see with a lot of companies these days that are hiring non-sales or people without a sales background in sales management positions is they can't provide that role model. And selling, not that other professions aren't, but, you know, selling, given there's no real academic training for it.
Right.
And there's a few, or, you know, increasing number of universities have some degree programs, but, you know, like all degree programs, you're going to have to probably train people out of the things they learn there when they come into the real world. But, you know, it's an apprenticeship, right? They learn by watching other people. And so I think for sales managers, you know, one thing that's really different is they really need to be able to go out and, as I said, model that behavior that you want your salespeople to exhibit in front of customers.
You know, it's this is an interesting topic in terms of do you have sales leadership, sales managers come in from the outside, and they might be good coaches, but then, like I said, they can't model. And so much of this is because sales is so specific to the product or the solution and the company you're in. I mean, you can be a great salesperson, but you switch from company A to company B, and you're going to have to learn how to handle different kinds of objections or whatever. And I can remember once, so most of my previous companies, you know, that I've since exited, they were e-learning companies, but we focused on pharmaceutical sales training.
Mm-hmm.
And the disconnect between what was being trained from the training department and what was happening in the real world, the training from the managers to the reps, was huge. And there was this one time, you know, a top five pharma company paid me, you know, literally over $1 million to develop for a year this massive, you know, product launch training. And we had the binders and the e-learning and all this, and the fights over wording. And I mean, just the nuances and the stress with us in the training department, it was crazy. And then finally the days here, it's like a week long of all the reps come in. It's like the old school days. They all fly them in.
Mm-hmm.
Me and my team, we go down there. And we were told, like, just walk into the different breakout rooms where the districts were, you know, the district managers were being the trainers. So they took our materials and now they were training it down to the frontline reps. And we walked in, and over again, they weren't even using our material, or they had like ripped the first page out and then go around the room. They had their own agenda. And I'm not saying they were wrong.
Sure.
But I just hit me the money and the time that corporate training spent trying to, you know, accomplish a goal. And at whether they just didn't realize it, or it's just they knew this is part of the game because pharma's heavily regulated and all this stuff, so they can't put in writing, you know, certain things that the managers wanted to say or talk about.
Right.
But I was astonished. I mean, after this year of pain, I think maybe 5% of what we produced actually was used in the training meeting. It was pretty much run by the managers, like, hey, this is the way you're going to do it, and this is the way, you know, we found it. I mean, there was a pretty big disconnect from theoretical, you know, training and management, and then what the actual people in the real world were doing.
Well, and that's, you know, this is an ongoing issue, and I've had several guests on my podcast about this just even recently. Is you know, CEOs routinely are surveyed about sales training and think that it's a waste of time, because it's not really addressing the issues that the salespeople are having in the field. And as you, to your point you made earlier about, you know, every company, they are so situational and so unique that it's really hard to generalize. And, you know, that's one of the real challenges, right? And so to that degree is, you know, my thought is, really, you're much better off if you just train people, sort of get back to what I spoke to a little bit earlier, you just train people on sort of just some basic premises about selling and building relationships. And if you do that, and I've sort of reduced it to an acronym. I've got an acronym that's BALD, BALD. And I think if people can master the four elements of going bald, as I call it, then that's all they need to know about sales.
You'd better walk us through them, because I've got my pen in my hand.
Well, so the B is be human, right? Be present, be mindful, be focused on the customer. The A is ask great questions, you know, questions that elicit emotions out of the customers. L, listen without judgment, meaning take your filters off, meaning it's this, every customer is unique and you have to be, you know, take those filters off so you hear what they really are saying to you. And D is deliver value on every interaction. And if you can just master that, you're so much farther ahead of the game. Because that's what, if people can just do that, that's the key to building good relationships with prospects.
That's amazing.
That's going to get you where you want to go. And so, yeah, I'm sort of really increasingly sort of focused on that because, yeah, we're in an increasingly noisy and polluted environment in terms of sales advice and sales recommendations and so on. And I think if people just have a sort of beacon of clarity, I just need to focus on these four things. If I can focus on these four things, and I know my products that I'm selling, of course, and know my customers, then everything else is going to be fine.
Incredible. A great acronym. And that's a great way to wrap up the show. You know, LeadX family, we always talk about getting 1% better every single day. I like to challenge you to try something different every day. And I think we go with this. I mean, whether we're actually going into a sales experience or you're getting ready to go meet with your boss, meet with one of your direct reports, you're getting ready to have a dinner with your spouse, be present. You'll be human, ask, listen, and then deliver value. And let's see how that works for us today. So Andy, thanks for joining us on the LeadX show. Tell our listeners how they can find out more about you and your work.
Great. Well, Kevin, thank you very much for having me on the show. And it's a pleasure to talk to you, as always. People can find me on my website at andypaul.com. They can subscribe to my podcast, Accelerate, which you've been a guest on twice. You can do that at iTunes or any place where they listen to it. And my podcast, just like yours, is on the Inc list of the top 12 leadership podcasts. Follow me on Twitter at RealAndyPaul or connect with me on LinkedIn. Love to hear from you.
Andy, I think my listeners got a great flavor of both your wisdom, your value, and your fun personality. So I encourage them all to go over to Accelerate to get more of it on a consistent basis. Again, thanks, friend. Look forward to the next time we chat.
All right. Thanks, Kevin.
Friends, before we go, remember, at LeadX, we're on a mission to give free leadership training and professional development to everyone, anywhere, at any time. Visit leadx.org to check out our upcoming webinars and online training events, and subscribe to our newsletter to be notified of new offerings. And please take 1 minute to go to leadx.org/subscribe to subscribe and leave a rating on iTunes, because we're at 227 reviews as of this moment, and I need to get to 300. Just in the last week, we've had awesome 5-star ratings from Garth, Trish Way, Die in AZ, Try Guru, Indigo Cole, Elsie Flores, and so many others. Please join them. leadx.org/subscribe. Until next time, remember, your family, your team at work, your community, we all need you to lead with intent. How will you lead today?